Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming here, of course, Bradley Hodge. Joining me as always, Hodgie, plenty to get through. It's been a couple of weeks.
It's been a while,
hasn't
it?
How have you been spending it?
Oh, not much. Been actively, you know, still seeking employment opportunities on LinkedIn.
But your main employer is looking after you.
They are.
A great job there on Channel 7.
They are. It's been good. I thoroughly enjoy working with Channel 7 and the crew which we've worked with. So that's been cool.
Getting your frequent flyer points up.
Aren't I racking up some frequent flyer points? So for the listeners, if they don't know, I do all the jobs that Ricky Ponting does not want to do. So Perth, yes, Alice Springs.
Any flights over 2 hours?
Anything over 2 hours, I'm in and he's out.
I used to be that guy, but because I've been doing tests, I think you... But you know next year it's probably you and me in Perth. We might as well move for 4 months to Perth.
Yeah, well, we had a good time in Perth, so that was okay. So we should take up some residency in Perth, maybe get on the list, consultancy work for Adam Voges, who hasn't performed that well, the Perth Scorchers this year. So we could find the role for them, you never know.
And what about, how about, you've had some disappointments throughout your career. Obviously, you want to play more than your six tests and a lot more one-day games for Australia. But is that evened up a little bit by the change of venue from your next game, Alice Springs, now at the Adelaide Oval? Does it bring back some of the disappointment?
Do you know what was amazing?
What were your flights like? Well, how did you get to Alice
Springs? Okay, I'll tell you how bad it was going to be. I was going to have to go straight from this game at Hobart, catch a 6 a.m. flight to Melbourne, take the flight next to Adelaide, then go Adelaide up to Alice Springs. But the funny thing was, I messaged Channel 7 on the group email and expressed how disappointed that I was. And Jim Wilson, who I don't think was coming back with a funny retort, he was like, honestly, he goes, oh, yeah, I'm so disappointed we can't be going to Alice Springs. And I'm like pissing myself laughing behind the scenes because I'm like, no, man.
You're taking the mickey.
Absolutely.
Jimmy's good on him.
Yeah.
He's a heart and soul sort of guy, Big Jimmy Wilson.
Yeah, but you know this time of year that the travel can weigh you down, Flem. I mean, you've been busy more than anyone and you can, especially the kids going back to school. So not having to go to Alice Springs, not that it's a bad place.
No.
It's
we more just, want some cricket played there.
It's just the travel.
Locals need to see some cricket and high quality cricket. But
Hey,
mate, we're going to talk about the BBL. But first, things we need to know in cricket this week. The Australians are back. We're back.
They're
winning test matches.
Well, it's good.
When's the last time we lost? We've won two in a row.
Well, I can't remember
Sri Lanka
the last
were okay,
time that happened.
They?
Aye, let's. I think Sri Lanka would not have beaten Washington Park on Saturday. they weren't the best, but look, Australia won, and that's the main thing. We've got to get back onto the winning ways. Sometimes you forget how it's done, and more importantly, Justin Langer gets his first win as a series as a test
singing
coach.
A song for the first time, him and Tim Payne.
Yeah, I mean, a few people would have forgotten the words. It would have been that long. So, no, good to see them recite the words and get it right on Monica Obel, and well done to the Australian cricketers.
Well, Jai Richardson and Curtis Pattinson, they're 100% success rate. They're singing the song after every test match they've ever played, so they'll take that. But, hey, mate, so we had a 100 drought, and now it's raining hundreds.
Yep.
So from Monica, we had Travis Head get his first 100.
Yep.
I mean, he was due, wasn't he? He was pressuring.
He was.
Raising his bat for his 100. Curtis Pattinson, Joe Burns, it was his fourth test 100. So people forget that he's been there before. And obviously Usman Khawaja, you could see that meant a fair bit to him the second innings there. But people ask, We know it was also probably a second-rate Sri Lankan bowling lineup. Let's be honest, they all got injured up at Brisbane. Lakmal was a big out. I thought he bowled really well up there. But even though the standard wasn't at the level of the Indian fast bowlings, mentally, does it still give you a big tick to actually get there for the first time?
Yeah, well, the good thing for Curtis Patterson is he's ticked that box already. So, yeah, not many people walk into a test match and get 100 in their first or second test matches. So, you know, he's done that. Good for Joe Burns to come back in. So you sort of feel like, you know, that pressure's relieved a little bit from those that batting group. Doesn't go in the record books 100 years down the track and say it was probably the worst attack ever to come out to Australian shores, and you cashed in on a second-grade District 2-11.
So it's sort of funny, isn't it? In one summer, people like Marcus Harris and Travis Head have played against arguably one of the greatest overseas bowling attacks to come out to Australia in the Indians, and then probably bottom of the pool.
Well, it's all about timing, isn't it? If you think about Aaron Finch and coming up against Bumrah and, you know, the Indian attack, Shami, Ishan Sharma, you know, Jadeja and Ashwin against this attack. I mean, it's just timing is everything. And, you know, good luck to Joe Burns and Curtis Patterson. I think Travis Head really deserved a century. I think he's been played pretty well across the whole summer. And, you know, to get one under his belt as well is really important, and he played particularly well.
What about Usman Khawaja? You know, he probably wasn't auditioning for Dancing with the Stars with his footwork for most of the summer. I thought his 72 in Perth was important. We wouldn't have won that test match without him, but it did talk afterwards that, you know, there's been family issues, they've been weighing him. You saw the celebration. He's not the biggest celebrator, but it obviously meant a lot to him. You know, deep down, I know he's a class player. You know, can this 100, you know, kickstart him again and have a big Ashes series?
Well, I think it's good timing that this has happened. You know, not many people know how hard it is to play test match cricket. It doesn't matter who your opponent is. It's difficult, as you know, Flynn.
There's scrutiny that does not happen at domestic level.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, because you're in the public eye and people will criticise your techniques, your mannerisms, how you act on the field. And there are certain things in your family life which can drag you down. I mean, a cricketer doesn't walk up to the, you know, the TV and go, you know what, I'm going to have a bad day today. I've had no sleep. The kid's been up spewing up all night. You just crack on and get on with your job.
Room service wasn't quite what
exactly,
I liked.
Exactly, yep. The chips just weren't hot enough when they rolled up and Merv ate all the pizza. So, look.
But they're human beings with the same daily frustrations as a lot of people, and although, you know, a lot of people would love the opportunity to play for Australia, it doesn't make it any easier.
Well, the other thing is for Usman Khawaja is he basically had a whole batting group weighing on his shoulders, you know, since the departure of Smith and Warner. So that's not easy to do either. So he bore that for pretty much four test matches, and not so much against these Sri Lankans, but you know, wears you down. It takes a lot of mental energy as well. So I'm happy for him. I think people don't need to be concerned or worried about his form. He's first picked, you know, for the Ashes. Number three, lock it in. He's done.
All right. We might go through your Ashes team a little bit later on. One that didn't cash in, who batted really well against India, was Marcus Harris. And it's interesting seeing him. One of the real challenges for the modern day batsman is how you adjust to the different formats. And I thought Harry went back to the bash and he didn't get it right. He looked like he was trying to hit every ball
he
for
was
four
bash,
or
wasn't
six.
He? Yeah, he...
Full on bash. Whereas he's a natural stroke player. Mm. I think he should have backed himself to be able to put the bad ball away, which will happen with only 2 feet out. And then that translated into, you know, four innings against Sri Lanka and no runs.
Well, he probably hasn't got his T20 right in the past at all. He's been dropped from the Renegades a couple of times for those reasons, where he's got opportunities and just hasn't quite nailed it. So I still think he's trying to work that format out. The other thing is, you know, when you play test match cricket and you go on such a high, you may feel that those innings weren't so much important, but they are, because every game you play cricket, you're going to be criticised by whoever. So some advice that I got from Michael Sholley back when I played cricket was that the game you play in is the most important. Doesn't matter where it is. You know, runs are runs, performances are there and need to be set to a standard. I just don't think Marcus came back. I think that he thought that his test career was set in stone. for the period of time. Look, I haven't spoken to him, so I'm not going to say that it's right, but I think that he may have thought that his position is right. But as we know, it can slip away pretty quickly.
It can, particularly when the other guys are getting hundreds. But for me, Marcus Harris, the positive is his best looks test match level. But, you know,
what would you like to see from him?
Well, going backwards, the thing I want to identify is what you said. He's actually, for a person who looks a natural T20 player, that he's an aggressive Warner type, you know, his record does not back that up. So it's different from a player that's proven at test level and T20, and he just got it wrong a little bit.
Yeah.
There's just that question that he hasn't found the map or the blueprint to T20 batting. So this is where it gets tough is I reckon he worked out test level a little bit and first class cricket, obviously to a great degree, but he's come back and he's still trying to find, am I a basher? You know, do I accumulate like Sean Marsh and then accelerate later on? I reckon that's not a bad plan. And I just think he got himself out of form going into a test series.
It did.
Hitting a lot of balls, trying to hit every ball in the BBL.
Yeah.
And you've got to leave more balls in the test match.
I mean, I wonder if you talked to Usman Khawaja about that, because a couple of years ago, Usman Khawaja came back, got 2 centuries for the Sydney Thunder and won the title for them. So, you know, the recipe, it can be done. You can easily transition from one. It's just a matter of getting your head right, getting some clarity around the role which the coach wants you to play. But I would have thought that being an opening batsman for your country, you need to come back and show a level of quality which is well above everyone else. And he unfortunately just failed to do that. And that opens up questions then when he goes and has a poor tournament against the Sri Lankans. So he needs to bounce back.
Runs in Sheffield Shield just to lock in that
needs to happen,
Ashes
yeah.
tour.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I still think he'll get on that tour as maybe a backup. But, you know, if David Warner comes back in, which, you know, all the press is saying that's going to happen, Joe Burns has done the right thing. So you'd think that Warner and Burns are going to walk out and face that first ball from James Anderson.
What about with the bowling? MVP for the year, Pat Cummins, are you happy with that?
Oh, if you're a fast bowler, Flem, there's nothing that you don't like about Paddy Cummins. I mean, you might as well talk about him. You just must love running, seeing him run in, pound that ball into the wicket, get it moving. Good bumper.
Hostile.
You know, that spell at the MCG, you know, against the Indians was just frightening and tough and gritty and everything that we expect of our Australian fast bowlers.
Well, what he's got, it's not quite Dennis Sealy. He's got charisma.
Mm.
He's got charisma. And as, you know, we really love Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood, and we're going to talk about Jai Richardson. These guys are coming through. But Paddy's just got that marketability. Kids want to play cricket like him, not unlike Elise Perry.
He's a good-looking rooster as well.
Yeah, smiles a lot, but I bet you when you're facing him, you're not thinking that he's a nice guy.
Not at all. Not anyone that bowls over 140, you know that they can knock your head off. Yeah, it's scary. You don't want to face that any day of the week.
Starkey, 10-foot, so that's really good for his confidence.
Yep.
His pace, exceptional, but I don't think that's been a problem throughout the summer. He's not going – we'll talk about the one-day – scenario coming up. So he's not going there. He's got a bit of an upper body injury. You know, still, I want him to get that. Obviously, he's got the World Cup, but, you know, I want him to be working with that juke ball as well because it's still, I didn't see a lot of that in-swinger back into right-handers. That's what puts him into a different stratosphere as a bowler.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't think that he's going to take wickets if he's not moving the ball back in. I mean, you have to be really sharp. Bit like Mitchell Johnson, that can create that X factor with a short pitch. Or
have you faced both of them? What's the difference? Like before, you know, for me, I don't know about their pace different, but Mitchell Johnson, just that bounce off a length seemed, you know, different. Whereas it's not a slide on Mitchell Starc, who might be consistently as quick as him, but he doesn't get the bounce that Johnson got.
I sort of felt as a right-hander that Mitchell Starc was more dangerous around the wicket.
Coming at you.
Yeah, coming at me, whereas Mitchell was the other way, where you were more looking for Mitchell Johnson's short ball, whereas Starkey, you're looking for it pitched up at the stumps. And then that's where Jono would catch you off guard. But you always knew as a batsman that if it wasn't swinging back, you shouldn't be out LB or bowled. So the only modus dismissal that you should get out is caught.
Yep.
So if you can work out how that's not going to happen, then you should win the contest.
Yeah.
It's only that extra pace and bounce that Johnson's got it, and also, you know, Stark's got it. It's just a, it's a different attitude. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I mean, I can't describe it any more clearly that when you see Mitchell Johnson in his run-up and you see those arms and the slightly hunched back, it just screams aggressive, and you're thinking, my God, this is going to hurt, you know, if I get it wrong.
Starkey's more a loper.
He is.
He's long striding, yeah. And certainly formidable, though.
Yeah. So both are really interesting that, you know, both were probably criticised that when they weren't moving the ball back in, they were less dangerous. So I think it's critical that Mitchell does get that seam position right. As you know, Fleming, if the ball's not swinging, you're a swing bowler. It's not going to be a good day.
No, game over. And also, both those players didn't have accuracy to fall back on. Mm. You know, McGrath, not a big swinger, but bouncy, pacey enough, but his accuracy was amazing. Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's happened, but Mitchell Johnson, you'd be hoping that he could work with Mitchell Stark, wouldn't you? Like, he was the one that every now and again would fall out of love with his in-swinger.
Yeah.
I think Stark's been a more consistent swing bowler than Mitchell Johnson, but I think you're talking about the natural lengths too. Stark's always trying to hit the stumps and Johnson short. But and what about Jai Richardson? So that's impressive. He didn't get a bag of wickets at Manuka, but he showed exactly. He's pacey enough, isn't he?
He's quick. He's quick. He swings the ball both ways. Yeah, it was a great inclusion. And, you know, well done to actually get an opportunity ahead of Peter Siddle, even though Peter himself would be disappointed. I think as a cricket lover, it was good to see a young kid come in and put the baggy green cap on and work hard and get some results as well. You know, I've sort of talked to you, Flem, about, you know, the resting period for the quick bowlers. I'm not a fan of it at all because we never actually get to see the likes of this Jai Richardson that get picked on merit, come in, you know, play a wonderful game and then put pressure to lift the bar from these other guys. So
there's nothing like pressure for spots.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you don't want, you know, too much anxiety and insecurity around all the time. But there is a time that, you know, if you're going to be number one in the world, there's always going to be at least a few players unlucky to get a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you're in the team, you know, I need to be at my best here.
No doubt. And that seems to be the opposite for us at the moment with bat and ball. But, selection's been an interesting one throughout this year. Can't say that they've got it right at all most times, but Jai Richardson was a good call. And I'm glad he did well because he's pretty exciting.
He is exciting. What about for Sri Lanka, the captain Chandamol? They asked, what were the positives of the tour? And he goes, we caught well in the slips. That's it. You're gone when that's your only positive.
The only positive for him is that the flight landed on time and it's going to take off on time. That's probably about it. I couldn't see any positive at all for their group. Tough work for them. They've had a horrid sort of year and a half in
and losing really good players. Cricket. I mean, it was a couple of years ago when we talked about the legends, Sangakkara and Joe Ward. I know Angelo Matthews for this. It's actually when they had those three seamers going, Kamara and Lakmal up at Brisbane.
Yeah.
If they bowled at the right times, you know, they actually look like they'd trouble the Aussies. But it's interesting. Like we could play them over in Sri Lanka tomorrow and
yeah,
probably lose
3-0. Yeah, no doubt. And that's the way it works. And that's look, the
you
West
want
Indies
resilient teams away from home, don't you? You want to build resilient teams.
It's a really good example of how hard it is to win away from home. That's why we go to the Ashes. It's going to be difficult. When touring sides come here, it's difficult. I mean, India only really just snuck home, you know, as well as they played. They didn't smack us. They got us in the end through Pujara, but it took one man's unbelievable superhuman efforts to get the job done.
And hopefully we'll unearth, out of all those guys that have debuted, I reckon it's Curtis Patterson who seems suited to those long test innings and wearing batsmen bowlers down. And there's times he looks a lot like Alistair Cook, the former English captain.
Oh, maybe you can open the batting. He look exactly like him. Well, but I like it. I mean, the good thing for him is that he hadn't had a great record in converting his starts to centuries in Sheffield Shield cricket. So now he's come in, he's got 200s in the warm-up match, got 100, you know, well done in Test match cricket. That's what we want. That's what we're craving for.
You're talking about selections. One that was, was a bit bizarre, really, was Will Pukowski was added to the squad. Then he obviously had to leave early with some anxiety issues. It's just, I'll be interested. We're not going to know exactly what happened there, but, you know, the thing is with his history, the more security he can get around the group, the better. And, you know, you just wonder whether thinking he was a chance to play or not really late is something that would have set him off. I mean, if he'd been told, listen, you're not going to play, but we think you're a really good player and you're just going to have two test matches around the group and get you seeing what happens at this level, you can handle that. But, you know, it's so sad to see that, you know, like it got to a point that he had to get himself home and right. And hopefully he's right for Shield cricket straight away and keep pushing his claims. But firstly, his well-being's got to be premium.
Got to be premium. So, yeah, I'm not sure how it's got to that stage, actually. I think there just must have been a huge miscommunication. But the word on the streets that he's back training, he's back
good,
you know, ready to play cricket. So that's a positive. You know, we'll never know the insides, you know, for medical reasons about how deep it goes. But for Will's sake, you know, I would have liked to see him get a game, especially must be hard to take for a youngster. I know that I've had my tough times through selection, but when you think you're going to play a test and then someone jumps you from nowhere, I can't fathom that. I can't get that out.
As long as it's done early, like Patterson was added days before the test started. And if it already had that conversation, it changed a little bit in my, say, last two or three years in the Aussie team. Steve Waugh was big on this because I think he'd copped a bit of it himself. You generally knew a day before the game whether you're playing or not. And that just changed your preparation.
Well, they couldn't have known because Sam Harper, he went up there and also his family went up there.
Flew up there, yeah, so it was a late call.
Yeah, so it must have been a late call. So for me, that's just poor management, no doubt.
Okay, Greg Chappell resigned.
Yep.
So they need a new selector. He's actually the national talent manager. So there's actually, that's the role, and I think as part of that, you're a selector.
Yeah. Does that role come up on LinkedIn?
Well, I'm saying Bradley Hodge, I'm sure LinkedIn will be there. Could you be a national talent manager and do a bit of selecting on the side?
Well, anyone can. It's not hard. You just pick whoever. We've seen that in the last year. So it's not a difficult job. Apparently you play golf from time to time. Talk some junk about it.
Well, that takes you out because you have retired. What happened with the retirement from golf?
Well,
did the game just beat you?
Yeah, I just kept getting a lower back injury. And, you know, I just wasn't that good.
So did you get screened like Josh Hazlewood and there was a hot spot happening in your back and you just made a call?
I got screened and there was apparently in the medical report it showed up that you got a wife and two kids and you can't donate 5.5 hours to your golf game and then you can't go and drink 6 litres of piss after you got.
I
sort of thought that maybe I can maybe play 9 holes and then drink 6 liters of piss after it, but I couldn't quite get that through the medical.
But maybe you can do that national talent. So I'll be interested to see, you know, Pat Howard's rolls up, Greg.
Who's taking this role? The longest role ever. I mean, like, I'm there on LinkedIn. Where's the call?
Just put it out there in the interview. Well, the thing is, I reckon there's a sharing of services there and, maybe
they need to
the national
this
talent
role.
Manager is, you know, more dealing with, you know, the teams themselves and the high performance manager is more strategic and getting pathways right and getting the academy right.
I come across something really interesting a couple of weeks ago, Flem, and it was about Kevin Peterson. So we talk about pathways and, you know, your son's involved in some pathways and your daughter as well in various sports. And Kevin Peterson was saying that he was an extremely late developer in the game of cricket. So he actually never got to participate in any rep cricket. So what happens as a young cricketer if you can't get into those sides? And do we have the right people in there to then find these pots of gold like KP if you don't get in those pathways?
Well, it's interesting. I heard there was a theory. I'd like it. Hopefully it gets denied that there was a belief that, no, once they're identified at 12, 13, you just stay in the pathway and we'll just keep...
What if you're no good?
Well, the thing is, watching a lot of rep cricket, and we experienced it coming through, but now as a parent, a lot of kids peak at 13.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids that improve dramatically at 17.
Mm.
And we need systems that can make calls on either of that, particularly from high performance.
Yeah.
And even, you know, like the under 18, you know, rec competition in Victoria, it's T20 cricket. And I still think by under 18s, you're actually looking at talent ID. And what happens if you're a really good top order batsman, a little bit slight, so you don't have the power, you're not going to be playing rep cricket because it's T20 cricket. So I think there could be a bit of both. Like if that feeds into representing a renegade stars under 18s, like kids love getting T-shirts.
Oh, they love it.
They love getting that. Absolutely. And parents do too. But you've also equally got to be looking after the kids that might be good T20 players when they've actually peaked physically. But in the meantime, they're fine cricketers. So for KP, he was picked as an off-spinner in first-class cricket and then be one of the greatest batsmen of all time.
Amazing.
I think we chatted, you know, Michael Bevan in the first under-19s. He was a fast bowler. And it was only a stressy. He was an angry fast bowler. A stressy that he focused on his batting and, you know, one of the greatest one-day batsmen at all. How does that happen? How do they develop?
Don't know. I just like the whoever's going to fill this role and they need to get this right.
Well, that's the national talent manager's call, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to see someone with some young attitude into that role so they can understand the younger generation a bit better than, you know, someone like GC. I'm not criticising GC, but, you know, he's up around, what, 65 now.
Yeah, but I reckon that could be more an ex-player who's had business experience or even coaching. Probably it's more crickety. And I see the high-performance managers, not necessarily an ex-player, but that would be a bonus. But, you know, that's a big administration role.
Well, most of those talent managers are cricket players. There's Fitzgerald WA.
Yeah.
There's Fritzy Freeman at New South Wales.
Just to sneak up with you. Yeah.
So there is those roles are taken by cricket minds, which is good. I'd just like to see a little bit of fresh blood in there. We've seen a couple of changes happen in Cricket Victoria, Cricket Australia at the moment. I'd like to continue on with a little bit of freshness to help JL with his role.
Definitely. Well, talking about freshness, our great mate, David Saker, has finished up as fast bowling coach. Firstly, as a teammate, he was a beauty, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he was really a heartbeat, a soul of Victoria and I'd assume Tasmania. He was a guy, he actually was part of the squad when he was young. He's rough and ready. More a hit the deck sort of fast bowler. Yep. Went missing for 3 or 4 years and come back, and he taught himself to swing the ball upgrade. And I'm not sure I was away, but his debut game for Victoria was at the Adelaide Oval. Did you play that?
I did. Yes.
Didn't he back himself?
He did back himself. He went over to the TAB and punted for
Explain. Okay. Like years ago, there used to be someone there with a blackboard, wasn't it? With odds for highest run score. It was allowed back in the mid-90s.
Correct. So it wasn't actually your TAB or whatever like that. There was a punter that was probably the equivalent of your Ladbrokes now, was taking bets on who was going to be the most successful player. And Sakes thought, well, I'm a chancy. I'll back myself in. So he took the odds of 6-1, put some money in himself, and I think he got 3-30 or something.
He
got the money. So well done. Now I'm all for that. I know we're not allowed to promote gambling or something, but if you're backing yourself.
But years ago, I've never been a gambler. And you went to the Adelaide Oval, and that was part and parcel. There was the guy, he had his blackboard there, he's writing all the odds, and you could back yourself. And I mean, to a degree, and I'm not a big gambling person.
We got some quality
out as
well.
If people are backing themselves, you know, there's what can really go wrong?
Well, wasn't like he got Shane George, Wigney and Harity out. It was the top order. It was quality. So, well done, Sakes. Well done. It's a shame to see him part ways with Australia. In my opinion, probably should have happened once Lehman left. If this was going to happen now, I thought they should have cleaned house right there. And I know as a coach, Justin probably should have got one or two of his men in there at that
straight
time.
Away.
It was a volatile time for Australian cricket, and a new coach certainly needed his help.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, maybe, you know, Justin was giving them an opportunity. He wanted to have a look at his support staff that was already there. Yeah. So he's going to get new ones. I mean, fast bowling coaches, you know, who can replace Sakes? You know, straight away, Ryan Harris is doing a lot of work at the academy.
Yeah.
What about around the states? Like there's Mickey Lewis, Victoria.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of the fast bowling coaches.
I mean, the only
the
thing I can think of is that his friend, Griff, who coaches Hobart.
Well, that's
and
where
Hobart
I'm heading.
Hurricanes.
Maybe. The head coaches, there's Griffo, who he's worked a lot. There's Andrew McDonald. For Victoria, yep. who obviously was a very clever medium pacer, but for actually fast bowling specialists, I can't really think of many.
Well, not that have had coaching experience, you know, so you can go and look around. I think we've made errors before where we've gone and employed people. Pat Howard made that error with, I think, Brad Haddon came straight into the role.
Yep.
We've seen people with no experience at all jump straight into the high performance sector in Australia. You can't do that. You need some experience. So for me, Andrew McDonald and Griff are certainly those two that picked that. You know, Mickey Lewis as well has been around for a long time.
And I suppose for Griffo and Andrew McDonald, and they might be settled in their jobs, but they actually bulk up the coaching. Mm. Yeah, they're not just fast bowling coaches, are they? So,
well, I think the role that David Saker actually had was assistant coach. So I would have thought he was more of a bowling coach and took that role on, but whether that's just
part of the They don't want to be just done as specialists, you don't.
Now you're a high-performance leader or some horseshit description.
We know it sometimes gets down to money, but, like, we've got a World Cup to win and Ashes. Why can't Glenn McGrath do that job?
Well, I've got a question. Why Troy Cooley gets these five games to take a group of individuals, which he's not going to take to a World Cup? I would have thought that if David Saker gets the sack or resigns, whoever is going to take that role needs to take these guys straight away. So if it's Glenn McGrath, pay him a fortune. Say, mate, come in. We got 8 games to get this right.
But is it also with Troy? I think we know what we're getting. But Troy's a very experienced fast bowling coach.
Yep.
As far as I know, Glenn McGrath has only done one-offs. You could have actually 5 games, or there's 3 T20s as well, to actually see what Glenn's going to provide and whether he's got the time to do it.
Yeah,
why not? Because he's won, 3 or 4 World Cups.
Yeah.
He's a bowler that wasn't necessarily going to do well in England. Was it tall and bouncy?
No.
But no, he bowled fuller.
Mm.
Didn't swing at heaps.
No.
So he had success. And our problem this summer is bowling a fraction short.
Yeah.
And fast bowling coach, as opposed to, you know, assistant coach, he doesn't need to blow their minds and all that. But what happens if he just adds one little gold nugget for Josh Hazlewood, a couple of gold nuggets for Mitchell Starc? That's worth absolute gold down if he can get them back at their peak.
Well, they've been off the pace last year in the Ashes, weren't they? They were miles off the pace, actually, our quicks. Now that
in England. They were great last summer.
Yeah, in England they were. So we've got some work to do there. So maybe that's the experience of Troy Cooley, who had a successful, 2005 with Flintoff, Harmison, Hoggard and Jones. Maybe that's why.
But what does the team need? And it's not just bowling, Hodgie. I think Troy Cooley might be as good a technical coach as there is in Australia or the world. So that's fine. But, you know, when they get to this elite stage, how much technical work do they need besides tactical, you know, mental, which McGrath was amazing at? Or you can chuck Jason Gillespie in there as well. How much would you add going into a tournament? You know, the technical, you want a coach who can do everything.
Yeah.
But how much would you put on the adjustment, World Cup? It's a big stage.
I hope that asked the right question. The right question would have been straight to Justin Langer.
Who do you want?
Who do you want and what do you need?
There you go.
That's it.
There you go. I like it. Hey, some good news for Australian cricket. England are getting absolutely pumped.
They're getting pumped.
No, absolutely pumped by the West Indies. It was supposed to be run-of-the-mill. I hope the West Indies can be competitive, and now it's going the other way. England, can you please get to a fourth?
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Yeah, well, the West Indies were probably the second buy in the competition behind Sri Lanka.
I like what you've come up with there.
Certainly not anymore. The buy is now Sri Lanka, and the West Indies look to be on the right track. I think that Stewie Law was there for a period of time and now has left to go and coach Middlesex. But looks like he's carried on that culture, and Holder seems to be doing a great job. Kemar Roach seems to have found his mojo again.
But his career record, Kemar Roach, is outstanding.
Unbelievable.
When you put it up against maybe not the greatest West Indian quicks.
Yep.
You go down one, he's averaging 4 wickets a test match at under 30.
Yeah. So, and Shannon Gabriel as well, who's got a good work ethic, works hard. So, no, well done. We love to see the Poms go down from time to time. And the good thing is,
well, the concern, do you think the batting is a concern? Like, it worked in Sri Lanka. I didn't mind what they did. A few white ball specialist who sweep a lot,
yeah,
which you need to do in subcontinent conditions. But I think, you know, you played over in the West Indies. They're not the best deck. So I think that most technically proficient batsmen will score runs there because there's up and down bounce.
Well, it's a little bit like batting on the MCG or the old MCG wicket where it just used to keep a fraction low and it challenged your technique, spun a little bit. So those generally with good techniques to play straight will survive. For me, though, the biggest challenge for England is not the quality. It's the replacement of Alastair Cook. Even though the captain Cook didn't do, or the chef didn't nail a lot of his performances late in his career, he still would have averaged 40, you know, in the test matches. But it's just that stability, that mindset.
How many different opening pairs that they had since Cook? Well, Cookie, I think, in his last 3 or 4 years. Once, they never really found one after Strauss.
No, well, look at us. You know, we've brought in a couple of openers and, you know, we haven't had that success against India and we've been under the pump. So we haven't found our right success yet, and neither have England. So great opportunity for our fast bowling cartel to get that right early and put some pressure on their batting lineup early.
And just to Alzari Joseph as well. Well done. Mm. You know, he's a booming young fast bowler. He had his, you know, mum pass away during the test match and got wickets there. But, you know, that's another all of a sudden, geez, Gabriel Joseph. And probably the most improved cricketer in the world's Jason Holder, the captain, because I was watching his stats. He was getting into that ugly period where he might play more tests than wickets he's taken. And then in the last 18 months, he's just gone boom. You know, a double 100 in the first test match, wickets constantly. He seems a mature young man that got burdened early, but, you know, looks a very unflappable captain that can lead by example.
We've seen it backfire, haven't we, a couple of times if you do promote a captain when they're not quite ready for it, and it can just put their career back a fraction, and it probably did. He probably didn't know the extent of what he was taking on when he first got the reins. But I love his leadership. He's done well in CPL. He leads the team well over there for Barbados, but clearly leads these guys well. And it's very hard as a leader to try and get all this team gelling together because they're from all islands.
Different islands.
And as you know, they do what they want. You know, they're an interesting breed, the West Indies cricketers. They're all about being flashy and money and T20, but this has been a huge turnaround.
But is there a new generation coming through as well that, yes, they play the CPL, but they want to be fine test cricketers because, you know, looking at Holder now, he's averaging 34 with the bat and 28 with the ball, and he's only 27 years of age. Mm. But, you know, you got Chai Hope, who looks a really good player. Bravo's back.
Right, it's good
to
see.
You know, he's a good player.
Well, he's been fighting with the board for a couple of years now. So, you know, it's just you've got to put the past to bed. And it's really good to see these West Indies come out. I'd love to. I'm looking forward to them coming out here to Australia and having a red-hot crack and seeing what we didn't see
last time
because that was pretty average. They were here for a holiday. They were certainly just out here for fun.
But isn't it great, like another name? You know, Sri Lanka are dropping, but hopefully, you know, they've lost a lot of good players, get back on the rise. But as they're dipping, the West Indies are back.
Well, I wonder if they talk about Australia like that.
Well, they could. India could.
I mean, what have we been? We're ranked, what, 7 in the world now?
I don't even know.
So we're not far away from being the bye. If you're speaking about, if the West Indies are talking about us, they've just beaten England, you know, in the top 3, you know, test playing nations in the world.
But so, it just gives incentive to us
I'm
because
excited.
That England, that, you know, is Burns and Denley going to get you enough runs opening up? We don't know. Bairstow doesn't work at number 3.
No.
He gets bowled too much. I mean, I just think they've got a lot of number 6s.
Yes.
You know, Root, you know, obviously he's a superstar. But even Butler at 5, he'd probably prefer to bat 6.
Mm-hmm.
Stokes is 6. Ali's there, you know, and gets a flashy 50 every now and again.
Yeah.
Folks is the keeper. Maybe they're going to have to give the gloves back to Bairstow, even though Folks has had a really good start to his career. Sam Curran, half batting all round.
Bits and pieces.
Not enough. Although he'll bowl better in England. Anderson and Broad will be better.
You can't be bits and pieces player, though, at the top level.
Yeah.
You need to be, if you're an all-rounder, you
I'm
need
surprised.
To be.
Why wouldn't that Wood play?
No, he must be injured. I mean, he's
I
a competitive,
he's over there.
Competitive beast. Maybe they don't think that he can back up, but he's good. But what they need to do is sort out that top 3. I mean, any good test playing nation is always at a top three. You go back to all the great openers, Strouth, Trescotti, Cook, you know.
Well, there's calls for Root to go to three, I think, for Mike Atherton and co.
Yeah, well, it's a fair call, actually. You know, I think that if you're going to be 3 for 20 anyway, you might as well get your best player in at number three and try and stem the flow. You can always find the middle order player. What you can't find is a gun number
three.
Well,
I think that's what they're finding, isn't it? That they've probably got 3 or 4 number sixes, sevens in their team. What about Holder? Is suspended for slow over rates into the next test match. Generally, from ex-players, they're going, why has this happened? The test match finished early, so we got the result. There's got to be a minimum amount of overs you've got to do, but, you know, certainly it puts a little asterisk against the next test match, isn't it, when Holder's not playing.
Yeah, well, it's a real shame. And you've got to look at – you've really got to take that into consideration as a product. When you are the match referee – I think you've got to be really lenient on a side which has won, you know, convincingly with a lot of period of time left in the game. But the laws are the laws, and he has to follow the laws.
You're big on the laws, aren't you? You always have been.
Yeah, well, otherwise, you know, look.
It's the Warriors. The penalty's
been lashed out.
Yep.
The penalty's there, and I get frustrated watching test match cricket because we can't, or teams can't bowl 90 overs in 6 hours. Now, we talked about your workload, Flem. You might as well pencil yourself in for Channel 7 to 6 and a half hours. You're not getting the job done by 6:30, and yet we bowl Nathan Lyon 30 overs a day. I think there needs to be stricter, harsher penalties. I'm not saying your captain should lose his stature in the match, and I'll tell you why, because I've been involved as captain of Big Bash games, and there are certain things as captain out of your control. You can't kick your sheep around the park if they don't want to be kicked around. All you can do is lead them to water, whether they want to drink it or not, it's a different thing. But yet the captain gets
penalised. Did you ever go through periods? I know we did it a bit in Shield cricket because we had to get 96 overs in.
Yeah.
You know, just the next half an hour, let's run between the things and let's get that, you know, through these overs and get back on track.
We did do that. There's no doubt. But, I mean, that's 96 overs and we never got penalised. You get through it. Somehow you just make a difference. So if we just said, next week, we have to bowl 100 overs in test match cricket before 6:30. They'd probably actually do it.
Yeah.
They'd find a way to do it. I just think we just become completely laborious about this. We need to think of the public. We don't want to see 12 overs bowled in a session in an hour, 24
That's
overs.
That's 5 minutes over.
We want 30. We want 32. Every time the last session is 2.5 hours, and it's hard for the fielding team, whoever it is. So I think it's something – I disagree that Holder should be penalised, but the laws of state, they're there for a reason, to make this good, make this game.
Oh, hopefully, if anything, it gets them through the overs and another captain doesn't get suspended. DJ Bravo, DJ Bravo. What about the Big Bash, mate? We're building towards the finals. You know, it looks like at this stage it'll be Hurricanes, Sixers and a couple of Melbourne teams.
Yep.
What have you made of it? You know, we're doing the Hurricanes game tonight. What have you really liked about them?
I've just been impressed with their stability more than anything. You know, the difference between having success and not is that they've played minimal players, and yet you go against Perth Scorchers and see they've played 22 players.
Yeah.
So trying to search for the right result, that signifies that all their players are in good form. And Darcy Short and Matty Wade in particular have been outstanding. They've got a good middle order. McDermott.
Well, Bailey's played a couple of big innings. Yeah, I think Malenko's an underrated hitter.
James Faulkner's come into some form lately, even though he's out injured for this game. So the roles seem pretty clear. You know, creeping Clive Rose, Jofra Archer. And they've managed to just hit a little bit of a hurdle after Johan Botha retired You know, that's 4 overs of quality which they're missing. So they're a little bit vulnerable there, but Case Ahmed's come in, which fills that hole. But I just think the one thing that stands out is the quality of product here down in Hobart, where the pitch is.
But the pitch is good.
Absolutely. So the product started well. So the criticism about the BBL from a lot of people when the season first started was where we played the games and the quality of wickets.
So most of the good games have been down in Hobart, and you know, you don't want to make excuses for teams that just don't bat well.
No,
don't get it
not
right.
At all.
But the thing is, you can always trust the wicket here, can't you? You can always chase.
The good wicket.
It doesn't change too much. No. Generally, there's one small boundary that has to be protected. So that's exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting.
To see how the bowlers try and make them hit away from there and batsmen, you know, innovating to hit to that area. Mm. But one thing I have enjoyed of BBL 08 is it has been an old man's game, surprising enough, the BBL. But this year we've unearthed, it's not quite a teenage rampage, but there's been teenagers playing for a start, which is good. Some of them doing well, and even just younger players, you know, like you think of Sam Harper and Riley Meredith and, you know, the teenage Sanger and Edwards haven't ripped it up, but, you know, they're playing.
Yeah, we've
Max Bryant.
Max Bryant's been unbelievable. Harvey Harper for the Renegades. You know, Sanger and Sams for the Thunder have contributed to some success. Josh Felipe for the Sixers, as you mentioned,
has been
unbelievably good. Matt Kelly, you know, has probably outshone the likes of Ty Berendorf and
Kuntinop. Might have the best Yorker in the BBL.
Yeah, so, Matty Kelly. I mean, that's really good. Your man Renshaw, I mean, hasn't he been fantastic
I think
in the last couple of games?
I think he should win the MVP. He's a superstar. Well, what about with the ball?
Yeah,
he's probably unhittable.
He's probably going to get one vote, and that's yours.
Yeah, but he just he gets so many dot balls. But I think that innings against the Strikers might have awoken the giant.
Well, Rashid Khan still falls under the age of a youngster, doesn't he? I guess he's 19. He's been fairly impressive.
Yep, yep.
Sorry.
He's had a hard life.
I just had to cut you off over Renshaw. I can't keep you talking
up. I think he's the find of the tour. Hey, we're saying goodbye to a few. Maxi Klinger and Basil McCullum.
Yes.
We made it, you know, he made his first class debut with us, Maxi Klinger, and 20 years on, you know, that might not be, he's not retiring, but the chances are that he's going to play in Gloucester in the England T20, and that will probably be it. But, geez, besides not playing a lot for Australia, he can't have done any more to try and play for Australia. He was a fine servant for three states and a couple of franchises.
Yep, absolutely. And he's won a couple of titles for Gloucestershire as well, playing in one-day cricket as well. So he's been fantastic. We were over there in Perth for his last game for the Perth Scorchers, and it was a wonderful time. His family were there to, you know, wish him good faith.
Took back the title, most runs
BBL. He did, actually.
Then he went past, he made a duck and he passed it again. It was just ironic, wasn't it?
It was.
And got out straight afterwards, but he walked off raising his bat, number one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Apart from, you know, Lynn and also Moses Henriques, who have got a lot of, you know, ability and experience in this competition, we haven't seen much from Klinger and Baz McCullum's been really hit and miss. So as you said, those experienced players, Tom Cooper, Cameron White, been hit and misses. Bailey's been great in patches, but it's more so the reliable guys, you know, we really haven't seen a lot for. So all these youngsters that have come in and those guys we bid farewell, they've had a wonderful impact in our tournament.
You know, it's been amazing, isn't it?
Oh, incredible.
Like his impact up at the Brisbane Heat.
Incredible.
He's such a proactive, aggressive type of player and coach. No doubt he's had a big impact on Chris Lynn's batting and his coaching.
Yeah.
You know, still throwing his weight around in the field, happy to get mic'd up.
So that's what I love to see.
He was a win, I reckon. Big win for the Brisbane Heat, even though they didn't win anything. And what about the overseas? You've been happy with the overseas talent? Melbourne Stars are getting back Sandeep.
Yeah.
He'll be
a big in. Yeah,
Rashid Khan just continues to set a standard. Jofra Archer, these types.
We were talking about Usman Khawaja just before about how, you know, outside factors can impact your performance. You know, not many people understand or take it into consideration that Rashid Khan's father only passed away, you know, on the turn of the new year.
Yeah.
And then his performance has backed off. So that's how hard it's been. And fair credit to Rashid Khan. What a performer he's been. Unbelievable.
We all love him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually think the overseas performers, even though we've lacked a couple of the heavy names, have performed so well. Shinwari, when he was here for the Renegades, was impactful.
And Gurney's had some good death overs.
Gurney's
what they
been
got
good.
Him for. Nabi just.
Jofra Archer seems to have found his mojo back. We'll see Case Ahmed's got some serious talent for the Hobart Hurricanes. Vince has come in and had an impact.
Yeah.
The Sixers, Tom Curran especially, I think, has probably been the pick of the overseas players.
With bat and ball.
Yeah.
No, he's been, and just so much energy. You know, sometimes you get the feeling, oh, maybe the overseas is just getting his paycheck.
Yeah.
Curran's been unbelievably passionate, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely superb. And, yeah, we've seen patches of brilliance from him when the Sixers didn't look like winning. I think just for to have that reliability for Moses Henriques to chuck the ball, he's bowled generally the fifth or sixth over in the power play, so he's under the pump, come and did the job at the back end and gone for sixes or sevens. That's a quality result.
So, mate, we'll do one next week and we'll be previewing the semis and the finals for the BBL. Hey, just the one-day squad's been released by Cricket Australia for the games in India, and it is Finch, Khawaja, Marsh, Hanscom, Maxwell, Turner, Stoinis, Carey, Cummins, Coulter-Noel, both the Richardson, Jai and Kane, Berendorf, Lyon, Zampa. Darcy Shore is going to cover Sean Marsh for the start of the tour. Like Sean will get over there following the birth of his second child.
Yep.
Any surprises there? And I'd still think there's a reasonable percentage of that group that are still trying to get themselves into a World Cup.
Yeah, look, a few surprises. I thought there may have been a couple of changes, actually. I thought that maybe we might have seen the... I didn't think the Carey-Finch experiment worked, so I think that Darcy Short could have been a full inclusion, actually.
Surely if he goes, he has to open.
Yeah, he has to open. So I don't know whether
Sean Marsh open? Will they bank it to be Warner and Finch?
Well, they are banking on Warner and Finch, but then where does your role come in for the wicketkeeper? Because I thought that I thought Wade would be a better finisher than Carey down at six or seven.
No, well, you're going to have to be a finisher, yeah. So he's going to have to work on being that 25 runs off 10, 12 balls guy.
But it's a bit late to be starting to work on that. We know that Wade can actually do it and has done it in the past and done it successfully. So, you know, for Carey, he's got about five games to actually get it right. Or give the gloves to Peter Hanscom. You don't have to worry about that conundrum. So that would be my suggestion. Peter Hanscom, take the gloves. But at number three, you can
and get another power all-rounder in there. Well, you can play a Turner.
Yeah, you can play Ashton Turner, who I think should be picked anyway.
So he's the... Because out of that group, I think he is the best. I mean, with Maxwell, 25 off 10.
Well, if you go they through that side, yeah.
Probably Stoinis as
well. If you go
through
that side, I think the best side probably would be Darcy Short and Finch at the top. Sean Marsh, 3. Hanscom, 4. Yeah, Maxwell, 5. Turner, 6. Stoinis, 7. And then you get into the bowlers. Cummings, you know, Coulter-Noel, Richardson and Adam Zampa.
Yeah, the way they're talking, though, Maxwell's going to continue at 7. And I think there's times when Maxie's batting well, you want him facing more balls than least amount of balls. But, you know, Hazelwood and Stark are not in there. But, you know, I think batting's the main concern, working out their best batting list. That's going to be the tough one.
I'm a bit concerned about Mitchell Stark.
And Indian
Stark,
conditions
actually
aren't going to really help us in
England. I'm a bit concerned about Mitchell Stark, only because that 10 foot was probably worth about 6. And look, I'm nervous he hasn't played a lot of one-day cricket at all. He hasn't played this year. He's not going to play these games. So how are we going to get him into the World Cups?
And just some highlights I saw the other night was the build-it-up. That ball to Brendan McCullum in the 2015 final MCG, fast swinging in.
Yep.
You know, I think he might have been in player of the tournament, wasn't he, Mitchell Stark?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
You know, and we want him at that level if we're going to defend this World
Cup.
Well,
how can you – I mean, it's going to be rusty. So how do you come into a tournament and perform at your best if you're actually rusty? We saw our bowling group having 8 months off come in against India a fraction rusty, and you could see the performance that they were short of a gallop. So I think Mitchell Stark needs to play as much one-day cricket or white ball cricket, even to 2020s, before this World Cup.
Yeah, so what have they got? Maybe some games against Pakistan, then some games over in England. We'll continue to talk about the one-day team, which was picked for the World Cup. Hey, mate, it's time for, you know, the reason why people aren't on social media. It's the Bradley Hodge Social Media Self-Promoter Award. I'm really excited. We haven't done one for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've had some time.
Yeah.
I've had some time to really nut this out. And look, I'm going to start at the top. And it's a true performer in this area.
Not Normo.
No, it's not Normo. Normo's been off the beat actually lately. So I don't know what's happened to him. But he'll bounce back. He'll know that once he doesn't get votes today, he'll bounce back. But I'm going to start with Michael Clarke.
Oh,
And the reason I say this is because I was up at Noosa while Michael Clarke was there, and I was paying my full whack for my accommodation.
Yeah.
But it showed Michael happily having a good time with his family in the Sofitel. So at Sofitel Noosa Pacific.
Yeah.
You know, with no other, just the tagging of the hotel. So,
just a sneaky little one.
We know that. And then whilst he's there, it's also a happy birthday at Kylie Clarke with a selfie photo. But why would you tag your missus in? She's already in the photo.
It's a different world these days.
Only
little ones for pup there.
Just little, but yeah, he was active. These two are really interesting. One was Jasprit Bumrah. It was just a selfie of his face.
Was a motivational message, because sometimes
there was a motivational message for him. That's fine. But the next one was Virat Kohli. It was a selfie with an emoji of the sunglasses, but it wasn't a selfie front on. So someone had actually actively taken the selfie side on.
Okay.
So it's a selfie, but not a selfie. So he's gone out of his way.
It's like a semi.
It's like a semi-selfie.
Semi-selfie.
But he's gone out of his way to actually take a photo of himself and just with nothing.
Nothing. Maybe that's the new self-promotion where you're actually not putting in yourself.
Yes. Yeah, so he's double cranking everyone.
Yeah.
He's not self-promoting, but he is. But I was onto
him.
Or is
he just can't be bothered making a comment? This is me.
Well, that shit doesn't get past me. I'm onto you.
No,
it's as
I know
simple
that.
As that.
We know that.
Partif Patel was self-promoting that. This is the first day of camp for the season at the RCB hashtag play bold. So it's a photo of him sitting on a treadmill. So he's actually doing stuff all. Yeah. He's just self-promoting.
Yeah.
What I loved about it was the reply from Trent Woodhill.
Yes.
Who's the sacked coach.
Oh, is he no longer there,
Trent? No, he's sacked. He's finished. Okay. So he went with along with Dan Vittori and our friend Andrew McDonald. But he put in a crying emoji. So you're actually you're promoting yourself getting sacked, buddy. I don't get it. I missed that message, but I know what you're up to, mate.
We know. Patel was on the tour, the Indian tour, didn't he? Didn't play.
You're done. You are absolutely done. This one's a beauty, and this was dobbed in by Jacob Thompson, and you'll relate to this one, Flemo, because you're pretty good at this. And that's Jacques Callis.
Oh no.
Do yourself a favour and go out for a fitting with the new tailor-made M5 and M6. It is crazy long at tailor-made South Africa. Yeah. Hashtag tailor-made.
Do I get in trouble if I back that up? They are seriously tailor-made.
I thought you.
That's
were,
what we love. We you know, I cop votes for that.
I thought you were Callaway. Not tailor-made.
Get that. I'm editing that right now.
Done.
Tailor-made.
Okay, right. We'll get tailor-made on there.
Two votes as well.
Another one, a little bit of self-promotion, was Andre Russell. So he's just got a photo of himself sitting in his hotel, and it just says hashtag self-love. I don't know if there's any more self-promotion that can be done than that. I've never witnessed anything
not
like
that. Not
that
we're saying that self-love isn't a good thing, but
AB de Villiers, I have a new travel companion that makes me getting around the world much easier at Montblanc _ India, blah, blah, blah. Hashtag my 4810 trolley.
So he's promoting a trolley.
Yeah.
But it's, promoting it just a makes trolley. It so much easier.
Unbelievable.
Thanks, AB.
And Darren Sammy, who on multiple times was extremely active, but this one is a beauty. Enjoying the sun being out in London in winter, even if it's for 2 seconds. Leave if you approve this look. So leave a thumbs up if you approve this look. Hashtag men with style. Hashtag style. Hashtag men with class. Hashtag menswear. What? Hashtag GQ insider. Hashtag dapper. Hashtag men with street style. Hashtag fashion for men. Oh. Hashtag men's trend. Hashtag look of the day. Hashtag chocolate man. Hashtag blah,
that's 100
blah, blah.
Votes. Or do I cancel it
anything
because
like it?
He's taking the mickey? Or?
Oh, mate. And the next one, next one he actually messaged, tweet in if you know what I'm tweeting. Who gives
I don't
a
know
shit,
what that
mate?
Means.
No one gives a rat's ass what you're doing in London. Anyway, There you are for the soap promoters this week, Flim.
I tell you, a lot of them I do love too. D. Sammy, what a great man. But I'm giving you 8 votes because I reckon there was at least 8 plugs. AB De Villiers, I mean, you're better than that. You're a superstar. You can pay for your own trolley. You can pay for someone to take your trolleys. 4 votes. Oh, Dre Russ, 6.
6.
So I think Sammy and Russ are going up the charts here. First one for Jack Callis, 4 votes. Taylor May.
Yep.
Well get done. With them if you don't have them. Okay. So there's 2 votes for me. Pup, just a little subtle pup. Yep. You know, sneaky. I'm hoping there's a one-day series against Australia that we might get some more messaging from Pup.
No doubt.
Just collective 3 votes. 1 for Bumrah, motivational message. Coley, I'll give it a 2.
Mm.
But this could be, can you keep on that? That could be a trend that they're that famous. They just do photos with no message. And Patel, 2 votes.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're not fooling us. No. So that's the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Hey, Hodgie, that's it from us. It's been a couple of weeks.
It
we'll
has.
Get one out next week. Mm. Thanks to all the listeners. We're getting a lot of downloads on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Podbean. Thanks for all that. Make sure you subscribe. We had 20 listens from Finland 2 days ago. So we will keep you updated on in Finnish cricket.
Any good players over there?
I'm looking at that as I go. They're playing Spain.
Right.
Who do you think's the favourites in the next couple of? They're in Division 4. They beat Spain in the World Cup qualifiers, but Finland at home. You know they're always a tough prospect.
Ice tough. Is that played on synthetic or turf?
I think it's on ice. If I got that wrong, but all I remember from Finland was one of my favourite hard rock bands, Hanoi Rocks, from Finland. But that's about it. But we'll give you an update on that. Well, can you go over for it?
Yeah, I'll go over
Finland versus Spain.
I can do that
game. And for now, good luck to all the BBL teams, and we'll be back next week. Well done, Hodgie.
See you, Flim.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.